Hello, and welcome to Season 8 of the Canadian Women's Foundation podcast, All Right, Now What? Gender equality and justice, where we live, work, learn, and play, is the goal, and it makes life better for everyone. All Right, Now What? Remains a space where we ask, how do we move from awareness to action? But this season, we're also shifting the story. Through powerful storytelling, expert interviews, and bold conversations, we'll explore what true equity can look like, especially for those who are too often silenced or overlooked. The work of the Canadian Women's Foundation and its partners takes place on traditional First Nations, Inuit, and Métis territories. We are grateful for the opportunity to meet and work on this land. However, we recognize that land acknowledgements are not enough. We need to pursue truth, reconciliation, decolonization, and allyship in an ongoing effort to make right with all our relations. Welcome to the first episode of All Right, Now What? Season 8, Shifting the Story. I'm Louise O'Shea at the Canadian Women's Foundation. Today, we're kicking things off with someone who embodies that spirit of change, Blessed Brooks, founder of the first official Yoni Spa in Canada. Blessed will take us through her journey as an entrepreneur, what inspired her, and the challenges feminist entrepreneurs face. We'll also dig into some of the creative solutions she's found along her way. And finally, she'll leave us with a few powerful words on what it means to take action and stay rooted in purpose. So, Blessed, we are so thrilled to have you today on our podcast. So I'd love to start from the beginning. You know, tell us a little bit about you and your wellness journey. What inspired the first official Yoni Spa? Am I saying that right? Yes. Yeah. I mean, tell us about this journey and how you got there.
Yeah, I'd love to. So for me, the way I discovered yoni steaming was because of my struggle with uterine fibroids. And so I discovered I had fibroids when I was pregnant with my first child, going for the ultrasound. That was the first time I had heard about it. I really didn't understand what it was, what it meant, but I was going to find out. And so I was thrown into, you know, discovering I have fibroids early in the pregnancy. I was given misinformation about it, told that pregnancy will help to kill off the fibroid, which was the opposite of the truth for me. So it actually caused the fibroids, the 7 or 8 small ones, to amalgamate into one larger one. And so fortunately enough, it did not get in the way of pregnancy, and I was able to go full term and give birth. But it meant that afterwards I hemorrhaged for months, almost a year. And it was that experience, that scare that I went through. And my postpartum recovery was just, it looked very different than what I had expected, right? And so going through that, and then now being told I have to have this surgery to remove the fibroid. So I hemorrhaged, I tried to avoid it, I couldn't avoid it. And now I'm stuck with this. I had surgery a year ago, which was, you know, emergency C-section for my first child. And now I'm being told I have to have this surgery to remove the fibroid. And going through that, and, you know, my community that really came around me in that season, it was one of my brothers that told me that, you know, this thing that they do in Africa, they do this yoni steaming thing. You should look into it, because that's how they address reproductive health issues. And I've always been interested in holistic health and natural healing, right? At one point, I wanted to study to be a naturopathic doctor. And so I looked into it. I was really intrigued by the whole thing. And in my case, it was just too late, right? You don't steam while hemorrhaging. And so that was when I first discovered it. It was because of my struggle with fibroids. And then fast forward to when I had my second child, I was pregnant with my second born. And I said, you know what? I don't want other women to go through what I had to go through. I want them to be proactive, aware of, you know, these concerns, these challenges. And so that's when I started Yoni Spa. It was in 2018 with my second born on maternity leave, which is a big part of my story because now I support other women in sort of reinventing themselves in their postpartum journey. So that's really how I got started with Yoni Spa, why I did it. And it's just led, one thing has led to another to where we are today.
And how does it feel to be the first to launch an official Yoni-inspired spa? I mean, it's really cool. I mean, you've brought it. Are there others now across Canada? What sort of movement have you inspired?
So I would say that there's a lot of interest picking up, especially right now. And so because when I first started, people had not even really heard of the term doula. If you had said you were a doula, I went on to certify as a fertility doula and people would say, what's that? Now you have a lot less of that. Now, you know, men, women, everyone's aware of the term. And so because people always wanted to either have me pop up in different cities, right? I would pop up around Toronto and then we, you know, plan one for Montreal. People would fly in for it, cross the border for it, come across Canada for it. And so eventually I was like, you know what, I really have to just start training other people so that they can start supporting people in their communities as well. And so that's where I really shifted my focus in the last little while, is training and develop other doulas so that it will be accessible in other communities and people don't have to travel for it. One of the first things we did was make it so you could do it at home. Because when I first discovered steaming, I really wanted to just try it for myself, and you had to figure out how to create it, right? So there's the herb side, but also how do you sit comfortably and do it? And so we worked on that to make it available to people. So the biggest thing I would say was first education and then accessibility. And now we're just trying to multiply and train others.
And this is the HER network in terms of training others and doulas?
So, you know, HER Network is a not-for-profit that we started to mentor aspiring entrepreneurs. But that came from the conversations that we would have on those Yoni steaming appointments.
Right.
So I'd have people come in. And originally my goal was to set you up, make sure you were comfortable, and then disappear for 30 minutes and then come back. But I always found people saying, oh, where are you going? Like, you know, I have questions. How did you discover this? You know, like you said, how did you get started? And so it became this talk therapy at the same time, right? So we would engage in great conversation and develop friendships over time. And so I also had a lot of clients who were like coming to see me, but then they were going across town for another appointment and they would have three different things on the same day, but it was like all over the city. And so I felt like we needed a co-working space for health, wellness, and beauty professionals. And we also needed a space where we could connect and network and share our resources and, you know, what we were learning, because we were all sort of going through this at the same time. Especially I find 2018, there was just so many trade shows. That was like the year of the trade show and marketplaces. So yeah, that's why we started HER Network, to just be able to do that in an official capacity.
I love that. And I was definitely one of those moms. You know, everyone that I saw, whether it was an acupuncturist or a lactation consultant or a doula, I would just crave their attention, because I just had this, you know, I had this small child that couldn't, you know, communicate or talk back to me. So I was like, an adult, a woman, speak to me. Yeah.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. We call them modern day doulas now, and it's so important. I think I just wrote about the fact that your postpartum stage is really upwards of 5 years. And that's something that wasn't talked about back when I was, you know, first having children. It was like 6 months to 2 years. And so my children are 5 years apart. So mine was like 10 years, 10 years plus. And it's funny, Canadian Women's Foundation was a big part, I would say, in another activation for me. The last time I spoke at the Feminist Summit in 2023, it was really the first time that I had been doing I would say, public speaking in that capacity since, you know, being in my postpartum stage. And so those little things like that are very helpful. So that's what I love now, is supporting women in their postpartum phase, because of that reinventing yourself opportunity. And like you said, the craving to speak to an adult when you're in that season. So our community of modern day doulas allows people to come and connect with other people who are also growing and developing together. So yeah, it's a safe space. It's a safe space for moms.
And tell us a little bit about, in your experience, what are the biggest challenges and barriers to feminist entrepreneurship? Why do you think we don't see more women in this phase of life, or before or after, kind of taking this jump?
So as something I said at the summit a couple years ago, is that our approach, I think, to feminist entrepreneurship is not just looking at the conditions and needs of the movement, the people who are looking for justice or equality. But when we look at the root of where some of those challenges are coming from, so I think that it's really big is confidence is what we need to work on both sides. Because broken people, insecure people who are not able to show up as their best selves for whatever reason, right? They're dealing with things. A lot of things are undiagnosed. And when that happens, you end up impacting the people around you. And so I like to go to the root. And I think holistic health needs to be embraced, even prioritized, because when people are able to tap into communities and holistic health and wellness and things like that, it can help to build them up. And so they are able to show up as their better selves. So then we have less of the breaking down, I think, from both sides. And so I feel like what's needed is more conversations around holistic health and wellness and making that accessible. Looking at Sweden, who just recently announced that you can now, as doctors, subscribe travel as a form of therapy. I think that creating more dialogue around that, around the wellness, is going to gravely impact the movement on both sides.
Yeah, it's that true sense of the age-old phrase of it takes a village, right? I mean, childcare and the whole journey of motherhood or parenthood is not supposed to be an individual story. And I think what you're really speaking to is that sense of community and natural and holistic preventative care, so that we're not sort of faced with surprises along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's why we call them modern day doulas, because there's people who are showing up in your village and they may not have a title, but there's a need for them. And when we start recognizing holistic wellness practitioners, you can start to give names and titles to those people who are playing a pivotal role in a lot of, you know, the way that our leaders are showing up. It's needed. I think holistic health, specifically doulas, need to start getting that sort of recognition and coverage. Swishville recently has made a movement for that in the U.S. They were the successful candidates of the InvestFest pitch competition, and she is fighting for holistic practitioners to be covered, whether it's insurance or, you know, regular federal coverage. But I think that's really important because they play a big role in the mental health of our leaders.
Absolutely. I was really surprised when my lactation consultant was covered under my insurance, which feels like I shouldn't be surprised about that. So I really understand that there's a whole host of people that contribute to our well-being, and that should be recognized. So That's really interesting. I mean, that's a big part of what could be a solution in terms of coverage and that recognition. What else do you see as some of the solutions? You mentioned what Sweden's doing and what's happening in the US. What other solutions could happen here in Canada that could really work and make a difference?
Yeah, so as I was saying before, is that one is, like I said, prioritizing the mental health, especially of our leaders, and looking at holistic health is one way we can do that. And then I think the people who are, in positions of influence or power, there's also a need for, I would say, space for like development in that area. I think that a lot of times there's people in power for a long period of time, or there's not enough like innovation in that space. I think if we do a SWOT analysis of different spaces and make a conscious effort of the changes that need to be made in leadership in different spaces of influence is another thing that we can do. And I think that when we prioritize our youth, especially as they're coming up, so that they're aware. I think it's really important for them to understand, women's health, especially being the backbone of the family and a lot of times positions of leadership. I think that there's need for respect and understanding for the space that's needed, the rest that's needed in the workplace, whether it's, the time that's needed each month or each year, taking leaves that are necessary, all of that, just being mindful of that, being mindful of the cycle of the woman, your productivity time, being considerate of your productivity time and your rest time when you have your best energy. All of these things being considered, you can get the best out of a woman if you're mindful of these things. And these are some of the things that I would love to see, but it really starts with making sure that people in positions of influence and power are even aware of what that looks like, right? So we teach a monarchy program to make sure youth understand what that cycle looks like, what it comes with, how your hormones show up, from day to day and week to week. And the more you understand about yourself, and you could be more aware, right? Once you're aware of your strengths and your limitations, and then you have that community that we talked about, it's now easy to find the best people to be in the best places and spaces at the right time if you're just aware. So I think awareness is education is where it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you don't know how your own body's working and what's happening, then how can you ever understand or empathize with others? Absolutely. So you are a successful female business owner. What advice do you have for other women looking to start their own business, especially for women or marginalized communities? What would you tell them? What would you say to them?
I love that question because it's something that we've been working on for the past year is the Purpose Program. And so I always say I'm a fertility doula by trade, but I'm a purpose doula by design. And what I mean by that is that in those meetings that I would talk about, when people would come in for the yoni steaming and they would tell me about their experience and maybe their education, their background, and the things that really get them going, as I said, triggered or activated. And I would see the potential gifts in them, their natural strengths. And I always tell people that's your superpower, right? So one is doing a SWOT analysis and being honest about your strengths, your weaknesses. Sometimes you got to take feedback from other people to really be able to list your weaknesses, your limitations. But once you're honest about that, once again, then we can see how we can play to your strengths and develop your weaknesses. And we do that in the Purpose Program. So I would say anyone who is aspiring to be an entrepreneur or in business is to look at your natural skills, talents, and abilities, because instead of seeing somebody who motivates you and thinking that's the way you should go, you should start with just looking at who you are, because they could have unlocked a lifestyle that you want, but that may not be the vehicle for you. That may not be the path. And so I encourage people to look at their natural skills, talents, abilities, and experiences. Also look at their personal design. So your personal design is your environment that you were raised in, your DNA, and the experiences that you had in that environment with or without your DNA providers. And so when you look at your personal design and you look at your SWOT analysis, what are you passionate about? What are you good at, right? And then figure out a way to monetize that. I think that's the best way to approach entrepreneurship, because then your work doesn't feel like work. Like, you would have done this anyways. And so you can turn your hobbies and passions into a business. I think that's one of the best ways to approach it.
It has to be authentic, right? It has to be genuine to you. And I think, yeah, that's what I'm really hearing from you, is it needs to come from a deep place of your genuine interests and what drives you in order to be successful. I think that's really beautiful. I think that will really resonate with our audience, and is, yeah, really, really great advice. So now, you know, what would you tell the everyday person about how we can take action and get involved in what you're doing, whether that's the work of Yoni Spa, whether that's the work of your doula network, whether that's, you know, her network and working with other entrepreneurs? What should the everyday person do for themselves, for their community, to support other women?
I love that question. Thank you. I would say that I've come to a point now, as I said, for any kind of movement of society, I think it's important that we look at all sides. And I've been so passionate for years about women empowerment and supporting BIPOC women in their development. And like I said, now I am looking at society as a whole. And seeing the need to develop and nurture both sides. And so we've recently launched what we call the Purpose Playground. And the Purpose Playground is where, building off what I just talked about, looking at your SWOT analysis, your personal design, and what are your natural skills, talents, and abilities, the Purpose Playground is a place where we all get to show up as our authentic selves and share what it is that we can share. And then it allows different people to see things that they may not have been exposed to. I've always said that Take Your Kid to Work Day is limiting, and that one child gets to see one parent's job. But if we flipped it and we brought the parents to the school, now you may be more interested in really your nemesis parents, though you would never known of what they've done if you weren't friends. The Purpose Playground allows me to put on display all the different rooms that I've been in and all the different people that I've been able to meet, and put them in this one space, and then invite my community in so that they can see things that they may never have considered before. So introducing skilled trades to young girls is one thing. Introducing tech to newcomers or returnees, allowing people to see things that they may not have considered an option for themselves. And also going through the Purpose Program, where they're discovering themselves, right? Discovering their identity, who they are, doing an audit. What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What experience do they have? And a lot of us are so ambitious, when you really sit down and think, there's so many different things you could do and ways you could go. So now you have choices, but some people don't even realize they have choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell me, what is the size and strength of her network now?
Her network? Well, as so many people came from the doula business. So it's funny enough, we just now really started going on LinkedIn. We're writing regularly there. I would say that we probably across the different networks, we're probably between 3,000 and 5,000.
Wow.
digitally, online. And now with Purpose Playground, that's exciting because we're working with other organizations, and we just made contact with an organization in Ghana, and we're looking to offer our education program on a scholarship to people there who are also looking to get more digital readiness training and investment readiness training.
So on here on All Right Now What, we also ask, you know, how can others get involved? So tell us how to find you.
You can typically find us HERR Network, that's HERR network.ca. And so if you find us there across all platforms, you'll see what we're doing, the programs we're running. Right now we're focused on tech. So we have the Be Future conference coming up in November 6th and 7th. And we have our next app night taking place October 28th in Whitby, Los Cabos. So if you follow us, subscribe to our list, we'll always make sure that you're informed. And yeah, so that's how you can find us, hernetwork.ca.
Blessed. Thank you so much.
Thank you for helping shift the story on safety, leadership, justice, power, and rights. You can visit CanadianWomen.org today to learn more and stay connected. We believe everyone should be able to exist without fear of harassment or abuse. You can help make that a reality. Text SAFE, S-A-F-E, to 20222 to give $10 and support women, girls, and gender diverse people throughout Canada. Small actions can lead to big changes. We appreciate your support.